Open them up to Psalms chapter 95, verses 1 and 2. Once again, it's good to have all of our visitors in service with us this morning. Psalm chapter number 95. Verses 1 and 2 this morning. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Amen. I'm going to stop right there this morning. Father in heaven, we praise Your mighty name. And God, we thank You for the privilege and the honor to be in Your house this Lord's Day. And God, we ask for Your Spirit to move in our hearts and our souls, refresh us, renew us, God, refill us with Thy Spirit, with Thy power, with Thy love, Lord, with a sound mind. Lord God, just grant it to us this day as we preach Your Word and share Your truths, God, that we would be strengthened thereby. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated again this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to us this morning for a little while on Beyond Thanksgiving. Beyond Thanksgiving. This portion of Scripture that we've read this morning is an admonition, if you will. It says, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Amen. It's an invitation. Come. God's invitation to you and I as His creation. Come. And what I want to get you to understand here this morning is that God listens to your worship. God listens to your voice. God listens to your praise. We're not just doing it because it makes us feel good. I know a lot of folks that do worship because it just makes them feel good. I've encountered some individuals that they just want to worship because they like to worship, but they know not whom they worship. Lots of folks in the world do it all the time. I don't know if you've ever been to a concert of any type. I have experienced some in days gone by in my years of not knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and them folks worship. They're serious about what they're doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when the Lord saved me, the Lord put a song in my heart, put a song in my soul, and worship did not become a problem. Because it was inside me. Hallelujah. The King of Kings had taken up residence there, and there was joy in my soul that I had never known before. And that joy produced noise. It produced a giving forth of praise unto God. And so we see then the Lord wants us to sing unto Him. He wants us to make a joyful noise unto Him. He wants us to come into His presence with thanksgiving. And He wants us to make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms, which is another word for songs and exhortations. Lifting our voice and sharing our heart with God. That's what worship is all about. This is why some don't like worship. Because worship is me giving unto the Lord what's in my heart. And a lot of times we're scared to give what's in our hearts. But you see, the psalmist is calling us to worship. And I want to read this little excerpt to us from A.W. Tozer this morning. And he says, what are we going to do about this awesome, beautiful worship that God calls for? God said, come. And now, more or less, he's saying, this is how I want you to come. I want you to come singing. I want you to come in joy. I want you to come with thanksgiving. I want you to come expressing the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. It's an awesome call of God to every believer. It's not just to pastors. It's not just to ministers. It is a call to God's people, and it's a call to worship. Hallelujah. And what I'm going to try to do this morning is I'm going to try to take us in a progression of what worship really is, and that how when you first come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got worship in your heart. You've got worship in your soul. But do you realize that that worship can become perfected as you walk with God and move from one realm to the next realm, and they'll all just engulf each other, and you will begin to move into a place of worship where God's presence and God's power will rest upon your life even when you're not in church. Woo! Praise our God. That's what God's after. Hallelujah. So it's an awesome call that God has given unto His followers, His believers, to worship Him. And A.W. Tozer goes on and he says, I would rather worship God than do anything I know of all this wide world. I would not even attempt to tell you how many hymn books are piled in my study. I cannot sing a lick, but that's nobody's business, he says. God thinks I am an opera star. Make a joyful noise. God listens while I sing to him. He sings to him from the old French hymns in translation, the old Latin hymns in translation. God listens while I sing the old Greek hymns from the Eastern Church, as well as the beautiful psalms done in meter and some of the simpler songs of Watts and Wesley and the rest. I mean it when I say I would rather worship God than do anything else. Wow. Why? Because God's called us to worship. God's called us to a personal relationship. That's what worship's all about. Your worship reveals your relationship with God. Your worship reveals how serious you are about your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Because as you build your relationship with God, you're going to find your worship is going to build. And as your relationship may diminish with God, you're going to find your worship diminishes. Because it's in the presence of the Lord is where I find, where you find, where believers find the fullness of joy. Whew, hallelujah. Praise be to God. You see, Jesus Christ was very, very adamant and serious about the reality that he wanted his believers in the fullness of joy. He knows that's where the victory abides. He knows that's where the power abides. He knows that's where you and I will be true followers of Jesus Christ because of the joy of our salvation and how much it means to us. Jesus told that gentleman that day, asked him about those that had had a debt. One had received 500 pence forgiven, one had received 50. He said, which one's going to love more? And he said, well, I figure it's the one who got forgiven the most. And then he turns to the young lady, weeping. Your sins are forgiven you. She was worshiping. While the one that invited Jesus to his house was not. You and I know very well Jesus Christ is worthy to be worshipped. Ooh, hallelujah. No one will argue that. But the question mark always comes is, how do I worship? Your worship may be different than my worship, is the excuse that's always given. And I heard a preacher say just the other night in youth rally, if you're always apt to give an excuses about something, it's probably just because you're lazy. That's just what he said from the pulpit. And then he began to expound upon it a little bit, because if you always give an excuse why you can't do something, it means you just don't want to rise up and put forth the effort to do it. Worship takes effort. Worship is giving of self. Worship is denying of self. Hallelujah. And God has called us to worship. Hallelujah. In Psalms 145 and 3, it says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is
searchable. So, how great your God. It will be revealed in how greatly you praise him, to how great your God is. See, it's all about attitude. It's all about a sound mind. It's all about the understanding and the lead of the Spirit of God into what God calls men and women unto. He calls you and I unto worship. And he doesn't call you and I unto the worship how we think we ought to worship. He calls us to the worship he desires. Amen. Now, just a simple illustration. Say you like chocolate pie. Say you really like chocolate pie. Say actually you really love chocolate pie. And you know that your wife loves you when she brings you a chocolate pie or makes you a chocolate pie because it's your favorite. Mine's carrot cake. I like chocolate pie. I like coconut pie. I like lemon pie. I like carrot cake. I like chocolate cake. I just like. Amen. But you know, you got that favorite, and if they're really wanting to show their affection, they bring you that favorite dessert. But if they're irritated at you, they're frustrated at you, and they set down a cracker in front of you and say, I love you. You're automatically wondering, okay, what did I say? What did I do? How did I respond? Did I say something wrong about the last pie that was made? Because you know that's not really adoration. That's not really love. That's a statement. Praise God. Well, you see, when we want to choose how we'll worship God, that's a statement. That's not love. But when we will open our heart and humble our soul and allow God to show us the way he wants to be worshiped, that's love, my friend. Hallelujah. That's my love for my God to know and wonder how he wants me to worship him and then giving myself wholly to that worship. Hallelujah. With all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. Is that not the first and the greatest commandment to love God? With everything I am, then who am I to say I will not worship that way? When your word calls me to worship that way. You see what I'm saying this morning, and I'm trying to take us past just mere thanksgiving, because everyone can muster up thanksgiving from time to time. Everybody's thankful for their salvation. I'm trusting that. I'm believing that. I'm trusting everybody is thankful that you're saved this morning. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Past sins have been washed away. New creatures been created inside of you. I am trusting you are thankful for the salvation that God has brought to your soul and the mercy that he's had upon your soul. I trust there is thanksgiving in your heart this morning. But I'm wanting to take you to a place of worship that's beyond thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalms 145:3, great is the Lord. Can you define great? Greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That means I'll never fully understand it while I'm in this body of flesh. I'll never understand the fullness of the greatness of my God until I get that new body and I find myself in a place called heaven in the presence of a holy God with a new body. Hallelujah. That is able to stand in the presence of the Lord, and then I will know all things. And then I will be thoroughly overwhelmed with the greatness of my God. Just like I can be thoroughly overwhelmed with the greatness of my God right here, right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, this is sometimes the motivation of worship because of the reality of the greatness of our God. And there's that word reality. I use it a lot because I think a lot of people don't have it. Reality. That means you've experienced it. You know it beyond any shadow of a doubt, and it is as real as the nose on your face. God's presence, God's power, reality. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's times in my life that I didn't have reality, and I had to press towards his presence It's an old-fashioned terminology used among Pentecostals for years. It was called praying through. You don't hear it talked about much anymore because I don't think it happens much anymore. Oh, church, I got a lot to share this morning, a little bit of time. Hallelujah. I haven't got to preach for two or three times, and so I've got two or three wrapped up right here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I want to move on here. I want to try to take this beyond Thanksgiving and the reality here. It says, the dictionary says that to admire. Do you admire God? Here's the definition, admire. To regard with wondering esteem, accompanied by pleasure and delight. To look at or upon with an elevated feeling of pleasure. A.W. Tozer goes on to say, according to this definition, God has few admirers among Christians today. Now, I didn't say that. I read that. Hallelujah. So don't hold that one against me. That's what he said back in the 60s, 70s. God doesn't have very many admirers in the Christian realm today. Ooh. Many are they who are grateful for his goodness in providing salvation. At Thanksgiving time, the churches ring with songs of gratitude that are all as safely gathered in. Testimony meetings are mostly devoted to recitations of incidents where someone got in trouble and got out again in answer to prayer. See, that's Thanksgiving. That's good. Don't misunderstand me. We are to thank God for the good things that he does. To decry this would be uncharitable and unscriptural, for there is much of the same thing in the book of Psalms. So thanking God for his goodness is good. It is good and right to render unto God thanksgiving for all his mercies to us. But God's admirers, where are they? You may disagree with me, but I know people that are not Christians, and they give thanksgiving to God because they know God is good. They know God is good. They've had God intervene in their lives. They've still not chosen to follow him, but they know God is good. They know God hears prayer. And they acknowledge God is real. See, we got to go past that. Got to go past that. Hallelujah. The simple truth is that worship is elementary until it begins to take on the quality of admiration. Just as long as the worshiper is engrossed with himself and his good fortune, he is but a babe. We begin to grow up when our worship passes from thanksgiving to admiration. As our hearts rise to God in lofty esteem of that which he is. And his statement in Exodus chapter 3 was, I am that I am. Wow. We begin to share a little of the selfless pleasure, which is the portion of the blessed in heaven. Hallelujah. Moving beyond thanksgiving. Moving into my relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Ghost. To where now it's moving past, I am grateful and thankful because I will always be grateful. I will always be thankful. But now it's time to graduate up into admiration. Begin to worship God because of who he is. Hallelujah. His greatness is unsearchable. Woo, that means I'll never figure it out. I'll never find it out in its fullness. And I can literally die trying and enjoy every step of it. Hallelujah. The greatness of our God. Because as I press towards him, as I pray, as I reach and press into his presence, as I lift my voice, as I lift my hands, as I lift my heart with my hands, as the Bible declares it with the lifting up of hands, and then I'm beginning to do that because I just adore him. I love him for who he is, not just what he's done. I'll always love him for what he's done, but now I'm moving into a greater realm of love, hallelujah, to where I love him for who he is. Hallelujah. And the glory that is due his name, the honor that is due his name, and my worship now moves to a higher plane that is really surpassing any selfishness of life.
And I am learning what it now means to take up my cross, deny myself, and follow him. Because now it's not all about me and what he's done for me and what he can do for me and so many times what he hasn't done for me. You know, when we as babes get a little frustrated at God, and we pout at God because God hasn't done something we asked him to do, and a lot of times he hasn't done it because we haven't come into his presence worshiping him. We've just come like a selfish child wanting from him. You'll find that your needs are met far quicker and far greater when you just come into his presence and you are admiring him and adoring him and loving him and worshiping him. And you're not really concerned whether you get anything back or not, because you're just ready to give all you've got unto him because of who he is, and magnifying him. And before you know it, you're healed. Before you know it, your prayer's answered. And you didn't go there for that, but that's what you got when you left. Woo! Hallelujah. That's how the kingdom of God operates. Oh, don't misunderstand me. There's the realm of the babe. Importunity. The Bible talks about importunity. I believe in importunity. And as a babe in Christ, you better have importunity. You won't make it. Because until you grow in your worship and you grow in your adoration, you're always going to need help. Upon help, upon help, upon help. God knows that. But there is a time that you're going to move beyond that stage. And you're going to move into adoration. And you're going to learn who God really is. And you're going to know him on a personal plane like you've never known him before. And that's why Jesus said it's expedient for you that I go away in the book of Acts and book of Luke, telling his disciples, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God, because I'm not going to be here, but he's coming back, and he's going to dwell in you, not only be with you, but dwell in you. Hallelujah. And he is the avenue whereby I enter into the Holy of Holies, and I enter into the presence of God. It is the Spirit of God that works in my heart and in my soul and reveals God. Amen. The Word of God, God's Word, is great, wonderful, forever settled in heaven. But if it's not coupled up with the Spirit of God, you will go into error reading God's Word. Why do you think there's so much error in the church world? Because they don't want the Spirit of God to take them into adoration. See, adoration is a perfect form of selflessness. It's not all about me. It's all about him. Hallelujah. How can I serve him? How can I honor him? How can I obey him? I find pleasure in serving my God. Woo, hallelujah. Not in what he does for me, but yet then I can turn around and begin to rejoice with thanksgiving. Hallelujah, because he always takes care of his admirers. Woo, hallelujah. Praise our God. Psalms 8:1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Are you seeing a little bit of progression here? The magnifying of God, the putting God higher up than you've ever put him before in control of your life. Hallelujah. You see, there's just levels. There's just measures of times in our lives as Christians of what we really give to God. The different ones have made statements, you know, in church services and testimonies about, you know, we don't want to give God leftovers. Now, I like leftovers. We'll have lots of leftovers this afternoon after Sunday dinner, and we'll eat leftovers tonight after church, should the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. I don't mind leftovers. Leftovers are just as good to me as they were the first time. Praise our God. But God doesn't want leftovers. God wants the best that I have to give him. And at different times in my life and in your life, the best is different. The more knowledge you gain, then the more best you have to give. Woo! What do you mean by that, Brother Pepper? The more understanding and knowledge God gives you of how he wants to be worshiped, and the more you submit and fulfill it, the stronger you become. And your best now is at a higher notch. Now, you know, Brother Michael, I couldn't go back now knowing what I know and experiencing what I have experienced with my God to the way I worshiped when I was first saved. Because when I first saved, I wasn't raised in Pentecost. I got saved. Hallelujah. I was raised in a different denomination and I got saved. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anyone, but I just wasn't saved. I thank God for my heritage and upbringing in a church. But I wasn't saved then and I wasn't saved there. I got saved in a Pentecostal church where the Spirit of God was moving and the presence of God was found so He could begin to show me that I wasn't saved. And when I first got saved, I was very, very skeptical of people raising their hands, wondering why. You just got to realize the kind of guy that I am, because that's my favorite question. Well, then why? You know, if you come to something that's running and it's making a noise it's not supposed to make, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's an air conditioner, my immediate question in my mind is, okay, why is it making that noise? And I start finding it, tracking it down. We'll spend hours sometimes to find such a small, minimal problem. Because I hear it, I know it's there, and I want to know why. Embarrassed my wife multitudes of times in our younger years. How many of you ever went to a restaurant? You sat down in that booth and that table. I'm sorry. I grab a napkin off the table, fold it up to the height I think it needs to be. I'll reach under that under that table so it doesn't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore because it embarrassed her. So I live with it. And when it's doing that, I just sit there and just grit my teeth and try to enjoy my meal because I know I could fix that. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. So now you understand a little bit about me. But as I begin to press towards the kingdom of God, as I begin to build my relationship with Jesus Christ, He filled me with His Holy Ghost. And then He kept taking me deeper into His Word. And the deeper I got in His Word, the more I realized why they raise their hands. Why they sing with all their heart. Why they sing to the top of their voice. Hallelujah. That's just one thing I've never done. I've never been a soft singer. It's always been loud. Hallelujah. It's just, I guess that's just part of me. I don't know. It got me into leading songs in our home church after I saved. And poor Sister Mullis, pastor's wife, sat right in front of me. And when song service came, she was looking for earplugs. Because I was just singing as loud as I could. Because I knew I was saved. I was washed in the blood. I'd never had that before. It was the greatest thing in my entire life. And it's just gotten greater and greater. You see, the greatness of God is unsearchable. That's why it can get greater and greater and greater. And ultimately, when that trumpet sounds and we head for heaven, it will become the greatest. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you see then, admiration is not the finished product yet. Admiration, that's the appreciation of the excellency of God. Man is better qualified to appreciate God than any other creature because He was made in His image and is the only creature who was created in His image. This admiration for God grows and grows until it fills the heart with wonder and delight. In our astonished reverence, we confess thine uncreated loveliness, said the hymn writer. Hallelujah. You see, God's eternal. He wasn't created, and He's lovely. Hallelujah. Just that song that we sang this morning, here I am to worship of thy loveliness,
thy worthiness. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. The joy that it brings just knowing His loveliness, knowing His worthiness. There is joy in expressing that love towards God and that admiration to God and that astonished reverence. Like, wow, what in the world is God going to do next? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. See, it's moving in that progression of that admiration, that astonished reverence. Praise be to our God. The God of the modern evangelical rarely astonishes anybody. A.W. Tozer again this morning. He manages to stay pretty much within the Constitution. He's making a reference to church constitutions. Never breaks over the bylaws. He's a very well-behaved God and very denominational and very much one of us. And we ask Him to help us when we're in trouble and look to Him to watch over us when we're asleep. The God of the modern evangelical isn't a God I could have much respect for. But when the Holy Ghost shows us God as He is, we begin to admire Him to the point of wonder and delight. This is why there is so much joy in the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is revealing to our spirit the greatness of our God. And we can't comprehend it with the mind, but we can feel it in the soul. Hallelujah. His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. And bringing us that joy. Glory to God. That's why you can just be praising God and get so happy. And you have no idea why you're happy other than just the fact because you know God. Woo, hallelujah. I love that. I mean, that's just part of worship. That's part of praising God. That's part of entering into that adoration and admiring Him. Just part of entering into that astonished reverence of God. See, the Bible says that God can laugh. But what God was going to laugh at was the calamity of those who rejected Him. But that lets me know God can laugh. And His laughter is not a laughter about someone's harm or hurt. His laughter is a joy for the child of God that He brings down in our soul because of our joy of who He is in our life. See, now I'm bringing it down personal here. See, it's not a matter of who He is, but it's a matter of who He is in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, we sing that song from time to time. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Praise be to God. He's the one that left eternity. He's the one God became flesh. He's the one that was born that baby in a manger. He's the one that lived on the face of this earth for 30 years, just waiting for the moment to reveal Himself to mankind as the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. He died on Calvary and He gave up the ghost. They did not take His life from Him. He fulfilled all scriptures. And when all the scriptures were fulfilled, He said, "It is finished." And He gave up the ghost. Oh, praise God. That veil in that temple, the preacher Friday night talked about that veil a little bit. That veil in that temple was thick. Two full-grown, muscle-bound horses couldn't pull it apart. It was a handbreadth thick, solid, woven material. I don't understand the fullness of it, but the different scholars say two horses tied on each side of it could not pull it apart. But on that day when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, ripped that veil from the top all the way to the bottom. Hallelujah. Signifying the way has now been made that you personally can go right into the presence of the Holy God of heaven through the finished work of Calvary, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I don't want to live short of what Christ has paid for. Hallelujah. I want to enter into the presence of my God that I might know Him and know Him in the power of His resurrection, know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. A lot of times we confuse that and we misunderstand that. The Bible says that when I have learned to suffer in the flesh, I have ceased from sin. When I have learned to deny myself, my rights, my desires, I have ceased from sin. And I have begun to become a worshiper of God. Hallelujah. And I'm just telling you, you've just begun to become a worshiper of God. Hallelujah. Because God is going to take us deeper and deeper, hallelujah, into that admiration, into that astonished reverence, into a fear of God that most people don't understand. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. There's going to come a day. I don't know whether it'll be in the United States or not. Don't even know if she'll exist when it happens. It's going to come a day when men are going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, because they're going to start seeing, and God's awesomeness and greatness is going to be start being revealed from heaven. And they're going to run from God because they know they have rejected God. And they're going to wish they could die, and they're not even going to be able to die. I'm just going to throw this in here this morning, you know, that the living dead, those movies about the living dead, zombies, things like that. Do you ever wonder where that junk comes from? Believe it or not, it comes right out of the Bible. Because there's going to come a point in time in that tribulation where men are going to want to die and death will not be found. And though their bodies may be blown up, they're still going to be walking around. Because death is not going to be there. Just in the Bible, church. What do you think the world's trying to do? They're trying to desensitize people to that, so they'll think that's normal. Because it's actually going to happen. I just ain't going to be here. Praise God. I'm going to be gone in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye. But that's really going to happen. They're going to see the power of God, and God's going to reveal Himself from heaven. But it's that point in time, it's too late. And all they're going to experience is the judgment of God. And that's why they're looking for mountains to fall on them and the rocks to crush them, because they don't want to stand in the awesome presence of a holy God. But you and I have that right and that privilege through Jesus Christ to be in His presence and to be strengthened by His power and by His might. Hallelujah. And so thanksgiving leads to admiration, and admiration leads to astonished reverence, and that astonished reverence will lead to that fear of God, that healthy fear of God. Hallelujah. To where I know that whatever God wants, that's the best for my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory to His name. When we come into this sweet relationship, I'm talking about a relationship here with the Lord Jesus Christ that just gets greater and greater and greater. Hallelujah. We are beginning to learn astonished reverence, breathless adoration, awesome fascination, lofty admiration of the attributes of God, and something of the breathless silence that we know when God is near. You see, there are points and times when the presence of God is so overwhelming, you're just silent. You're just silent in the presence of God. And that's when God begins to talk of His greatness. That's when God begins to talk of His plans and His purpose of our life. Oh, glory. But a lot of times we can't get to that place because we don't worship. We don't have thanksgiving. Thanksgiving doesn't go into admiration. Admiration, are you getting the picture? We're not progressing in our walk with Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Paul wrote to the church and said, you know, you should be eating strong milk or strong meat by now and not the milk of the word. You should be mature, but you're still wanting to feed off the milk of the word. What was he telling them? You're not wanting to really grow. You're not really wanting to serve God. You're not really wanting to go to that realm that takes you farther away from the world. Hallelujah. You see, you'll find as you build your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not that you give up the world. It's just the world has no place in your mind anymore because you've become overwhelmed with God's greatness. Hallelujah. And you just keep pressing towards the prize, the high calling of God to worship. To worship. Hallelujah. Because then you will find that worship just floods over into your everyday living. See, before God ever calls you into the ministry, God ever calls you to be a pastor, God ever calls you to be an evangelist, any of the gifts that God's given unto the church, the first thing He calls every believer to is worship. And as soon as you will learn to become that worshiper of God and begin the progression of the depths of the kingdom of God, that's when God then can take you and begin to use you where He wants to use you. Always be ready to be used where God wants to use you. Don't get your preconceived ideas of where you're going to be used. Mm-mm. You need to go deeper in worship. You need to go deeper into His presence, deeper into your relationship with God. Because it's always going to come out, Lord, what would you have me to do? Can you see the victory in that, church? When that mind frame is dominating my spirit, soul, and body, Lord, what would you have me to do? There's not a devil in hell that can stop me because all I'm looking for is what God wants done. Woo, hallelujah. No mocking in the world will stop me. No gainsaying tongue will stop me. Because when I'm right in the middle of the will of God and I know I am, there is not one thing that can stop me or you. Because that's where I must be. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not a matter of climbing the political ladder. It's not a matter of obtaining a certain status. It's a matter, are you a worshiper of God? Hallelujah. Are you building your relationship with Him to where if He says turn right, you're turning right? If He says turn left, you're turning left? If He says go up, you're looking how to get there. Hallelujah. And if He says go down, you're going down on your knees and you're going down as far as you can because you want your relationship with Him to be the greatest it could ever be. And that's called submission. It's part of worship. Hallelujah. And that's why it's so easy to worship God, because it becomes all about Him. I'm repeating myself, but it's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about Him and what He wants done. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. It says, you may never have realized it before, but all those elements in our perception and consciousness of the divine presence add up to what the Bible calls the fear of God. See, it's progression. When you first get saved, you've got a natural fear of God because you're just scared to do anything wrong. There's a measure of fear there. You know you're capable of doing wrong. You got to keep that alive too, because I don't care who you are, how long you've served God, you're capable of doing wrong. It's still there. The only thing that suppresses that and puts that down where it belongs is true worship. True entering in to the presence of God and letting God saturate our spirit, soul, and body to the place of that fear of God. Hallelujah. There are very few unqualified things in our lives, but I believe that the reverential fear of God mixed with love and fascination and astonishment and admiration and devotion is the most enjoyable state and the most purifying emotion the human soul can know. How many's ever heard the statement, you know, God can do more in 10 seconds than we can in an hour? Did you know that's true? But yet, why is it so many times we don't want to give God his 10 seconds? We'd rather listen to the long-winded preacher for 2 hours when we could have come to that altar of prayer and got it in 10 seconds. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've seen it happen time and time again right here in this sanctuary, just here in the recent services. I knew what I was going to preach. I knew what God had laid on my heart. And by the time that service was over, I didn't get my 45 minutes of preaching, but the Holy Ghost got about 30 or 45 minutes of time in his presence, and he covered everything I was going to cover. Woo! It's because he's God. Now we're here this morning and I'm getting to cover this territory this morning. I've tried to cover it twice already and never got to do it. But we're here this morning and what we're here about is worship. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Hallelujah. What is that statement? God, I am following you. You're my God. You're the leader of my life. You're the one I worship. You're the one I adore. You're the one that has saved me. You're the one that's washed my sins away. You're the one that's filled me with the Spirit of God. You're the one that's revealed your word. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. I've come to worship. Hallelujah. I've come to bow my heart, surrender my heart, fresh and anew. Hallelujah. If you haven't found out yet, that's a daily sacrifice given unto the Lord. Surrendering my heart, surrendering my will, surrendering my life. 24/7 worshiper of God is what you're called to be. It's what I'm called to be. And God is looking, and I'm closing with this, John 4, and I think it's 24. It's not in my notes this morning. God is spirit, and he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That means it's going to have to be something that goes just beyond my natural intelligence. It's going to have to be something that goes into my relationship with my Lord and my Savior, knowing Him. Knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him. Not just knowing about truth. Preached a message one time on a simulated truth. Truth has to become part of me. Hallelujah. Truth has to become part of me. And you will find as you progress in becoming that worshiper of God, you will become a very powerful soul winner for Jesus Christ. Because his presence is going to go with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. And that worship is going to be in you wherever you're at. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, Brother Michael, you can praise God right there on the top of a metal building. Hallelujah. And give him praise and thanksgiving that you didn't slide off today. Hallelujah. I mean, just the reality. I praise God. Woo. Glory. Sister Pepper, come help me out this morning. Glory to God. Beyond thanksgiving. Deeper in my worship of God, deeper in my relationship with God, deeper, 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 Lord, I pray. Some of my first worship out on the job was due to an adverse situation. Church, the church has heard this, but we got visitors this morning. We were building a pole barn. We were using used electric poles. We were using number 20 ring shank nails. They didn't come out of a nail gun. They came out of the pouch around your waist, and you had a 20-ounce hammer driving them through those boards. We were building one of those pole barns, and I hadn't been saved very long, but I was saved, hallelujah, rejoicing in God, having the time of my life. And I'm climbing up the side of this pole barn, probably up about 12, 14 feet, just hanging on the side boards that had already, we started at the bottom, started nailing them on. You step up on that one, start nailing on the next one. You step up. It's about a 4 foot, 3 foot step each time. And I'm up, I'm sitting on one, putting on the top board. And I start my nail. And I'm going to drive that nail in one hit, Brother Michael. That was my goal for that moment of time. Just having the time of my life. So I start that nail. I'm having to hold the board. Dummy me, I should have waited until I'd already stuck one in there, but I'm having to hold the board because I'm putting the first nail in it. It's out of splice. I'm just looking at it. And I hit it just as hard as I can because my whole goal was to drive that nail in one hit. Sure in the world, I didn't hit the nail I started. I hit the nail that was holding that board. And I smashed my thumb. And it just went black and blue instantly and began to throb like unreal. And I'm looking at my thumb. And I'm realizing just how dumb I had just been. But I just start weeping. And I start rejoicing. And I start praising my God. Because it wouldn't have been like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month ago if I had done that. Some of the most ugly words would have come out of my mouth. Some of the most vile speech would have been spoken at that moment in my displeasure. But because now I was saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and a child of God, I just felt that pain and began to rejoice because those words weren't coming out. Those words is not what was happening. And I realized right then and there the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of a believer. And I just hung there in pain. Hallelujah. Weeping and rejoicing in my God. Hallelujah. Worship. 24/7. Going beyond just thanksgiving. Going beyond just what natural man can do, but moving into the place of that greater surrender, that greater submission, that greater acknowledging of Him in our lives beyond thanksgiving into admiration, reverence. What love! Let's stand. God of heaven, we praise your holy name. God, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. Lord, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. But oh, God of heaven, I thank you, Lord, when you take us deeper. When you take us deeper, hallelujah, and we begin to see you as you are and begin to experience you as you are, as you're holy, as you're righteous, as you're pure, hallelujah, your characteristics, Lord, the fact that you're mindful of us. You love us with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. God of heaven, could you lift your hands this morning and just begin to worship? Just begin to worship. Let the Spirit of God begin to take you to those higher heights. Let the Spirit of God begin to take you to those deeper depths. Let the Spirit of God begin to show you Jesus Christ like you've never seen Him before.
You are our gift.